Once Ruin was free from his prison, he was able to influence people more strongly. But impaling someone with a hemallergic spike was difficult, no matter what the circumstances. To achieve such things, he apparently began with people who already had a tenuous grip on reality. Their insanity made them more open to his touch, and he could use them to spike more stable people. Either way, it's impressive how many important people Ruin managed to spike. King Penrod, ruling Lúthedain at the time, is a very good example of this. 51. Elend flew through the mists. He'd never quite been able to manage Vin's horseshoe trick. Somehow, she could keep herself in the air, bounding from push to push, then pulling each horseshoe back up behind her after she used it. To Elend, the process looked like a cyclone of potentially lethal chunks of metal, with Vin at the center. He dropped a coin, then pushed himself in a powerful leap. He'd given up on the horseshoe method after 4 or 5 failed attempts. Vin had seemed puzzled that he couldn't get it down. She'd apparently figured it out on her own, needing only about a half hour's practice to perfect it. But, well, that was Vin. Elend made do with coins, of which he carried a rather large bag. Copper clips, the smallest of the old imperial coins, worked perfectly for his purposes, particularly since he was apparently much more powerful than other Mistborn. Each of his pushes carried him farther than they should have, and he really didn't use that many coins, even when traveling a long distance. It felt good to be away. He felt free as he plunged down from his leap, dropping through the shifting darkness, then flared pewter and landed with a muffled thump. The ground in this particular valley was relatively free of ash. It had drifted, leaving a small corridor where it only came up to his mid-calf. So he ran for a few minutes for the change. A mist cloak fluttered behind him. He wore dark clothing rather than one of his white uniforms. It seemed appropriate. Besides, he'd never really had a chance to be a true Mistborn. Since discovering his powers, he'd spent his life at war. There wasn't all that much need for him to go scuttling about in the darkness, particularly not with Vin around to do it better. "I can see why Vin would find this intoxicating," he thought, dropping another coin and bounding between two hilltops. Even with the stress of Vin's capture and the threat to the Empire, there was an exhilarating freedom about cruising through the mists. It almost allowed him to forget about the wars, the destruction, and the responsibility. Then he landed, ash coming up to nearly his waist. He stood for a few moments, looking down at the soft black powder. He couldn't escape it. Vin was in danger, the Empire was collapsing, and his people were starving. It was his job to fix these things. That was the burden he'd taken upon himself when he'd become Emperor. He pushed himself into the air, leaving a trail of ash fluttering in the mists behind him. "I certainly hope Sazed and Breeze are having better luck in Urto," he thought. He was worried about his chances with Fadrix, and the Central Dominance was going to need the grain in the Urto cache if they were going to plant enough food for the coming winter. He couldn't worry about that now. He simply had to count on his friends to be effective. Ellen's job was to do something to help Vin. He couldn't just sit and wait in the camp, letting Yeoman pull the strings. And yet he didn't dare to try to assassinate Yeoman, not after the man had tricked both of them so cleverly. And so, Elend ran, heading northeast toward the last known location of a Kolos army. The time for subtlety and diplomacy was over. Elend needed a threat, something he could hold over Yeoman's head and, if necessary, use to batter him. And nothing was better at battering a city than Kolos. Perhaps he was a fool for seeking out the brutes on his own. Perhaps it was wrong to give up on diplomacy. Yet he had made his decision. It seemed he had failed in so many things lately, protecting Vin, keeping Lúthedain safe, defending his people, that he simply needed to act. Ahead he saw a light in the mists. He landed, running through a field of knee-deep ash. Only flared pewter gave him the strength to manage it. When he got closer, he saw a village. He heard screams. He saw shadows scrambling about in fright. He leaped, dropping a coin, flaring his metals. He passed through curling mist, looming over the village and its frightened occupants, his mist cloak flaring. Several of the homes were burning, and by that light he could see the hulking dark forms of Kolos moving through the streets. Elend picked a beast who was raising its weapon to strike, then pulled. Below he heard the Kolos grunt, but it managed to hang on to its weapon. However, the Kolos itself wasn't that much heavier than Elend, and so it was pulled up into the air by one arm as Elend was yanked downward. Elend pulled himself against a door hinge as he fell, edging himself just to the side of the confused flying Kolos. He sprayed the beast with coins as he passed. Beast and weapon spun in the air. Elend landed in the street before a huddled group of Ska. The flying Kolos's weapon hit the ashen earth point first beside him. The Kolos itself dropped dead on the other side of the street. A large group of Kolos turned, blood-red eyes shining in the firelight, frenzy making them excited about the prospect of a challenge. He would have to frighten them first, before he'd be able to control them. He was looking forward to that this time. How could they possibly have once been people? Elend wondered, dashing forward and yanking the fallen Kolos sword from the ground as he passed it, throwing out a spray of black soil. The Lord Ruler had created the creatures. Was this what had happened to those who had opposed him? Had become Kolos to make his army? The creatures had great strength and fortitude, and could subsist on the barest of sustenance. Yet to make men, even your enemies, into monsters such as this. Elend ducked forward, dropping one beast by shearing its legs at the knees. Then he jumped, lopping off the arm of another. He spun, slamming his crude sword through the chest of a third. He felt no remorse at killing what had once been innocence. Those people were dead. The creatures that remained would propagate themselves by using other humans unless they were stopped. Or unless they were controlled. Elend cried out, spinning through the group of Kolos, wielding a sword that should have been too heavy for him. More and more creatures took notice, turning to tromp down streets lit by the light of burning buildings. This was a very large group, by scout reports, some 30,000 in number. That many would quickly overrun such a small village, annihilating it like a small pile of ash before storm winds. Elend would not let that happen. He fought, killing beast after beast. He'd come to gain himself a new army, but as the time passed he found himself fighting for another reason. How many villages such as this one had been destroyed without anyone in Luthadel pausing to give so much as a passing thought? How many subjects, claimed by Elend, even if they didn't know it, had he lost to the Kolos? How many had he failed to protect already? Elend sheared a Kolos head free, then spun, pushing two smaller beasts away by their swords. A massive 12-footer was stomping forward, weapon raised. Elend gritted his teeth, then raised his own sword, flaring pewter. Weapon met weapon in the blazing village, metal ringing like a forge under the hammer, and Elend stood his ground, matching strength with a monster twice his height. The Kolos stood dumbfounded. Stronger than I should be, Elend thought, twisting and cutting the surprised creature's arm free. Why can't that strength protect the people I rule? He cried out, slicing the Kolos clean through at the waist, if only to show that he could. The beast fell into two gory pieces. Why, Elend thought with rage, what strength must I possess? What must I do to protect them? Vin's words, spoken months ago back in the city of Vititan, returned to him. She'd called everything he did short-term. But what more could he do? He was no slayer of gods, no divine hero of prophecy. He was just a man. And it seemed that these days ordinary men, even allomancers, weren't worth very much. He screamed as he killed, ripping through another pack of Kolos. And yet, like his efforts back at Fadrick's, it just didn't seem like enough. Around him the village still burned. As he fought, he could hear women crying, children screaming, men dying. Even the efforts of a Mistborn were negligible. He could kill and kill, but that would not save the people of the village. He screamed, pushing out with a soothing, yet the Kolos resisted him. He didn't bring even a single one under his control. Did that mean that an Inquisitor controlled them? Or were they simply not frightened enough? He fought on, and as he did, the prevalence of death around him seemed a metaphor for all he had done over the last 3 years. He should have been able to protect the people. He'd tried so hard to protect the people. He'd stopped armies, overthrown tyrants, reworked laws, and scavenged supplies. and yet all of that was a tiny drop of salvation in a vast ocean of death, chaos, and pain. He couldn't save the Empire by protecting a corner of it, just as he couldn't save the village by killing a small fraction of the Koloss. What good was killing another monster if it was just replaced by two more? What good was food to feed his people if the ash just smothered everything anyway? What good was he, an emperor who couldn't even defend the people of a single village? Elend had never lusted for power. He'd been a theorist and a scholar. Ruling an empire had mostly been an academic exercise for him. Yet as he fought on that dark night in the burning mists and falling ash, he began to understand. As people died around him despite his most frenzied efforts, he could see what would drive men for more and more power. Power to protect. At that moment he would have accepted the powers of godhood if it would mean having the strength to save the people around him. He dropped another Koloss, then spun as he heard a scream. A young woman was being pulled from a nearby house, despite an older man holding onto her arm, both yelling for help. Elend reached to his sash, pulling free his bag of coins. He tossed it into the air, then simultaneously pushed on some of the coins inside and pulled on others. The sack exploded with twinkling bits of metal, and Elend shot some forward into the body of the Koloss yanking on the woman. It grunted, but did not stop. Coins rarely worked against Koloss. You had to hit them just right to kill them. Vin could do it. Elend wasn't in a mood for such subtlety, even had he possessed it. He yelled in defiance, snapping more coins at the beast. He flipped them up off the ground toward himself, then flung them forward, shooting missile after glittering missile into the creature's blue body. Its back became a glistening mass of two red blood, and finally it slumped over. Elend spun, turning from the relieved father and daughter to face down another Koloss. It raised its weapon to strike, but Elend just screamed at it in anger. "I should be able to protect them," he thought. He needed to take control of the entire group, not waste time fighting them one at a time. But they resisted his allomancy, even as he pushed on their emotions again. Where was the Inquisitor Guardian? As the Koloss swung its weapon, Elend flared pewter and flung himself to the side, then sheared the creature's hand free at the wrist. As the beast screamed in pain, Elend threw himself back into the fight. The villagers began to rally around him. They obviously had no training for war, they were likely under yeoman's protection, and didn't need to worry about bandits or roving armies. Yet despite their lack of skill, they obviously knew to stay close to the Mistborn. Their desperate, pleading eyes prodded Elend on, drove him to cut down Koloss after Koloss. For the moment, he didn't have to worry about the right or wrong of the situation. He could simply fight. The desire for battle burned within him like metal, the desire even to kill. And so he fought on, fought for the surprise in the eyes of the townspeople, for the hope each of his blows seemed to inspire. They had given their lives up for lost, and then a man had dropped from the sky to defend them. 2 years before, during the siege of Luthadel, Vin had attacked Set's fortification and slaughtered 300 of his soldiers. Elend had trusted that she had good reasons for the attack, but he'd never understood how she could do such a thing. At least, not until this night. Fighting in an unnamed village, too much ash in the dark sky, the mists on fire, Koloss dying in ranks before him. The Inquisitor didn't appear. Frustrated, Elend spun away from a group of Koloss, leaving one dying in his wake, then extinguished his metals. The creatures surrounded him, and he burned Duralumin, then burned Zinc and pulled. The village fell silent. Elend paused, stumbling slightly as he finished his spin. He looked through the falling ash, turning toward the remaining Koloss, thousands and thousands of them, who now suddenly stood motionless and patient around him, under his control at last. "There's no way I took them all at once," he thought warily. What had happened to the Inquisitor? There was usually one with a mob of Koloss this big. Had it fled? That would explain why suddenly Elend had been able to control the Koloss. Worried, yet uncertain what else to do, he turned to scan the village. Some people had gathered to stare at him. They seemed to be in shock. Instead of doing something about the burning buildings, they simply stood in the mists, watching him. He should have felt triumphant, and yet his victory was spoiled by the Inquisitor's absence. In addition, the village was in flames. By this point, very few structures remained that weren't burning. Elend hadn't saved the village. He'd found his Kolos army as he'd planned, but he felt as if he'd failed in some greater way. He sighed, dropping his sword from tired, bloody fingers, then walked toward the villagers. As he moved, he was disturbed by the number of Kolos bodies he passed. Had he really slain so many? Another part of him, quiescent now but still aflame, was sorry that the time for killing had ended. He stopped before a silent group of villagers.
"You're him, aren't you?"
an elderly man asked. "Who?" Elend asked.
"The Lord Ruler,"
the man whispered. Elend looked down at his black uniform, encased in a mist cloak, both of which were slick with blood. "Close enough," he said, turning to the east, toward where his human army camped many miles away, waiting for him to return with a new Kolos force to aid them. There was only one reason for him to do that. Finally, he acknowledged what he'd decided, unconsciously, the moment he'd set out to find more of the creatures. "The time for killing hasn't ended at all," he thought. "It has just begun."